Hello, my name is Ben Ingebretsen, and welcome to this training session on basic personal assessment for church planting. We're going to be talking about developing your own growth plan as a church planter, and this is an exciting opportunity in your life to start thinking about, am I gifted to be a church planter, or a confirmation of that call to church planting? Or beginning to discern a pathway to that church planting. So if you fit any of those categories, this is the right place for you to be today. To talk about church planting assessment, I have a few assumptions. A church planting is unique. It requires a unique set of gifts in the planter leader. Everyone is unique. We're all uniquely designed by God, and church planters fit that category as well. We don't want to push people into church planting that don't have the gifts that it requires. It tends to be damaging on that person. It can certainly not be a positive experience for people that are following that person. And so really discerning the human factor in church planting is the key success determinator. And I put it this way, the number one factor in church planting success is the planting leader. The assessment of the planter is best done by a team of a couple of folks seeking human wisdom and spiritual insight. And today's training hopefully will help you along with the team in that process of discernment. Assessment's not a once-and-done experience. That we all grow. And I've worked with people who have not been gifted as planters at the moment of their first assessment, but who have demonstrated that gifting later. That's because church planting is primarily about a set of behaviors. Those behaviors can be possessed by many folks and developed and cultivated over time. So I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Let's go back and talk about a few foundational things in assessment. Number one, is there a call on your life to be a church planter? The book of Ephesians says that some were given to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. And church planters tend to be those with the apostolic and evangelist kind of gifting. That word apostle means that one who is sent with a message. That's the meaning of the Greek term. And church planters definitely have this urgent sense of being sent. And in that being sent, they feel a calling to move out with the gospel. They have an evangelistic gift, usually. If you're not called to church planting, you shouldn't be doing it. Some of us may feel like a church needs to be planted, and so we could be a great support to a church planter. Some of us feel that, we ought to be a church planter, and so maybe we should explore that. But need and ought are not adequate in discerning calling. That's not to say that they're irrelevant, but need and ought are not adequate to the real stresses of being a church planter. That sense of calling that God has designed me and led me to this moment, I feel compelled to move out with the gospel message and share the gospel and plant a church. These are indicators of calling. And so, secondly, is the planter spiritually, emotionally, and physically prepared for the challenges of church planting? Church planting is hard work, and it's stressful. Paul says to Timothy, a leader shouldn't be a novice. That definitely applies to church planting. Being spiritually and emotionally and physically prepared because of the rigors on all of those levels is critical in determining your readiness to be a church planter. You may have the gifts, but this may not be the right time. So give thought to that. Or how about this question, is the planter in harmony with those who may be sponsoring the church plant? You may feel called to plant a church. You may feel called to plant a church in partnership with some folks that want to support you in that. But you may not be in harmony with those people. their expectations, their philosophy, their way of thinking about church planting may be different than yours. And so it's really critical that you clarify that, or you are going to become part of a problem down the road. And so having a level of agreement between partners is critical. Or how about this fourth one? Does the planter have those who would speak well of them and their fitness for church planting? You know, all of us have folks that have watched us mature in ministry. And to have some folks that say, you know, I have observed you and I know of your work and experience, and I could certainly speak well of you and your fitness for church planting. If the people around you can't imagine you being a church planter, then perhaps that is an indicator for you to slow down a bit. If the people around you can see you doing that, if they see that church planting, that vigor, that outward sense style, that evangelistic passion, that people orientation, then perhaps that is a calling. And so the support of others and confirmation of gifts is needed for church planting. Number five, has the planter mastered the basic skills of ministry? Church planting is a certain set of skills, highly relational, highly outwardly focused, entrepreneurial, starting a ministry from scratch. Those skills can be trained, but they're best when they're trained on top of preaching and teaching and leadership and shepherding and evangelistic gifts that are already in place. It's not a good thing to have to train a church planter how to preach. Because the other duties of ministry are usually pretty challenging. And the duties that are associated with church planting are pretty challenging. And so preaching ends up being just one more thing to cram into the schedule of a busy church planter. So I recommend that church planters have some experience in preaching and experience in leadership and experience in shepherding and evangelism so that they come with some basic skills in place. None of us are perfect at all these, but hopefully we have a foundation. And are the circumstances of the plant best suited to the planter's effectiveness? Circumstances of the plant. I'd like to think with you for a few moments about risk factors in relation to circumstances. I brought along eight key risk factors in planter effectiveness. I would love to have you take a few moments and reflect on each of these as you think about the unique circumstance that you may be planting in. And then how would you score yourself on a scale of 1 being low and 10 being high? So take the first one. Does the location fit the planter's culture and background experience? You see, you're going to do best planting in a place where the culture and the experience of your life is fairly similar. It's not to say that you couldn't plant in a place that's very difficult, different, but it's going to be less risky for you to plant in a place where the environment is similar. So, would you say your risk is low in that area or high? Or how many ministry partners will join the plant from the very start? You're going to do better if you have a good squad of 4, 5, 8, 10, 15, 25 people who will jump on board with you in planting this ministry from the very get-go. And the more people you have to recruit from the very start, the harder it is. So how would you score yourself? One being, you know what, I'm a low risk in that area. I have a lot of people that are supporting me right now. Or 10 being high. Or how many pre-existing contacts in the location are open to joining the plant? If you've lived in the area that you're going to be planting in for a number of years and you know a lot of folks and they're all excited about you planting this church and they're going to be the first ones to sign up and they're saying they'd love to be a part of that experience, you're going to be a low risk in that category. If you don't know hardly anyone, if you have very few contacts in the community that you're joining to plant, you're going to be a higher risk, a higher on that scale. Or how near is your family or friends to the location that you're planting in? One, my family and friends are nearby. They're there to support me. I can get time away with them just to refresh myself and my family. Or 10 being, it's a long way to any family and friends. And I'm kind of all out alone in a place without their support. That's a higher risk kind of a situation. Or how about number 5, how close are you to other churches that are supportive of your planting work? One would be, I'm very close. There's either a few churches that are highly supportive or a lot of churches that are reasonably supportive of my planting effort. I'm going to get a lot of support from them. Or number 10 is if I were to rate myself higher, there are very few churches around that support me. I feel very alone in terms of other churches and their support. How much financial support will you receive for your work? Church planters need time to do ministry. And time sometimes can be provided through salary and through some funding support. If you're a one, then you've got significant support to help you. So that you may be bivocational, but you can get some additional financial support for the costs of ministry from other supporters. 10 being, you know, I have no financial support, and I'm going to have to entirely fund this through my own gifts and through the tithes and offerings that come from the new attendees. How much ministry success have you experienced as a pastor and a planter? One would be, I've experienced very little success in my ministry. Or 10, I've experienced a lot of success. Church planting calls for self-confidence. And if you're struggling with confidence, it's going to be harder for you. And that scale measures that. And finally, how strong of a Ridley assessment score does the planter have? We're going to talk about the Ridley assessment score in the next training tape on assessment that we provide. But it is a detailed look at the specific behavioral qualities of successful church planters. And so these 8 areas together give a picture of how much risk you'll undertake in being a church planter. Every ministry venture involves risk. Some risks are well taken on. Other risks are foolish to take on. Someone else should be doing that because they're better at it. Someone else should do it because they're in a better position to be successful. And this risk assessment is one way of looking at the issues that surround success in church planting. Now, let me share with you a few key principles in developing a growth and readiness plan in terms of your development as a church planter. Number 1, don't rush God. Oftentimes, church planters are in a hurry to plant. They're in a hurry to move out. There's an urgency that goes with church planting. But that urgency sometimes can cause you to move before God's ready to deploy you into that kind of ministry. So take some time and make sure that you're in sync with God's development for your life. And you can discern that through others. But there's many, many good times in life to plant a church. And it may be that a few years from now would be a better time for you than right now. Or it may be that this is the right time. Number 2, get a good mentor. Have someone training you. Make sure that there's a Paul in your life, as Timothy had a Paul. Find a good mentor, someone that's planted a church before, and pick their brain. Ask them for wisdom. Seek insight from them. Get a good mentor, a good coach. Get experience worship at a church plant, observe a church planter, get experience in ministry wherever you can. Church planting thrives on experience, and you need to get a lot of it before you launch off and plant your church. Experience in leadership, experience in visioning, experience in evangelism, experience in preaching and teaching. And become aware of your weaknesses. We all have them. The very best church planters are those that are most aware of their weaknesses. And when they know what their weakness is, they can then compensate for those weaknesses. They can then build strengths around them with others and have others help them. That's not a sign of weakness. That is a sign of strength whenever you're aware of your shortcomings. Develop a plan to strengthen your weaknesses. It's one thing to know where you're weak. It's another thing to begin to work on growing in those areas. So work in that area and ask for feedback and input. You know, there's nothing more valuable than the input of someone who isn't necessarily going to be your follower. You know, it's a person who might not follow you, but who has insight into where you're weak, who can be a very, very valuable person if you can find out from them where it is that they see weakness in your life. Ask for feedback. Could you give me some feedback? There's a very, very valuable resource in others who are willing to give it to you. And stay humble. God rejects the proud but gives grace to the humble. That's what Scripture says. Humility is always an asset in ministry. It's whenever you think you have all the answers, whenever you think you've got all the solutions, whenever you think that you're always going to be a success, that you have a hard time hearing the wisdom of others. So stay humble. Stay teachable. Stay open. In fact, here's a key scripture. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, "Humble yourself under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." That's a good lesson for church planters. That church planters have to, again and again, put themselves in the positions of learners and of humble listeners. Because even though God may have given you a vision and God may have taught you and God may have prepared you to plant a church, there's always going to be a new reality that you need to discover in that process. And you're going to be at your very best whenever you're willing to humble yourself and to ask for wisdom and to ask for help. So that's one scripture. The other scripture in 1 Timothy is, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're inexperienced, but rather be an example to others in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Lead up, Paul teaches Timothy. Lead above your current level. Be an example. Don't look down on your youth. You may come to this and say, well, I've never planted a church before. I've never been the leader of a large ministry. I've just done small things. Well, don't look down on that. God will use that. God will use everything in your life in the planting of a new church. And so with a kind of humble confidence, move forward, discerning the future in the partnership of others, open to where God is leading, seeking wisdom, minimizing risk, asking God, where's the best place for me? Where's the slot, the space, the place in your vineyard that you would have me cultivate into a new church start? God bless you in that.